Welcome to Gardening with Lucy. I'm so excited to be here with you today in my vegetable garden to talk about a wonderful subject, tomatoes in your vegetable garden. As it turns out, tomatoes are America's number one vegetable, and I can imagine why, because really, there's just nothing like the middle of the summer when you get your delicious tomato right off the vine. You can slice it up and put it on your sandwich or in a salad, or you can put it in your spaghetti sauce. And Americans look forward to having their tomatoes. But you know, there's just so many kinds of tomatoes out there, it's really hard to know what's the tomato that you want for your garden. So today we're going to go over a few of the details concerning different kinds of tomatoes, and hopefully that'll help you when you go to select some from your nursery or home garden store. So, one way to categorize tomatoes is by heirloom, or you can categorize it by hybrid tomatoes. First, we'll talk about the hybrid tomatoes. Over time, scientists decided they wanted to breed their tomatoes to give certain qualities that would make the vine more healthy, or maybe certain qualities like storage. They're better for storage or for traveling and that sort of thing. But for the home garden, you're going to be concerned about flavor and that sort of thing, and diseases and bugs that might attack your tomato vine. So when you go to buy your tomato, you may find a tag like this on your tomato, and on it you're going to see something that tells you about it, whether or not it's determinate or indeterminate, which we'll talk about in a minute. But it also might have some little letters, V, F, N, and some others. So those little letters can tell you a lot about that tomato. If it were to say V on it, it means that that tomato is resistant to verticillium wilt. That's a disease that can get in your soil, and if your watering methods aren't good and your tomato is too wet all the time, the roots will get that bad disease and it'll go up and cause it to wilt and die. So if it says V on it, it means that that particular variety is resistant to verticillium. If it has an F on it, it means that it's resistant to fusarium wilt, another disease that it can attack your tomato plant. So if you see a V or an F, that's really good news. Another one you might see is you might see an N. If you see an N on your tag, it means that it's resistant to nematodes. Now, nematodes are little tiny microscopic worms, meaning you can't see them. They're not like earthworms. They're so tiny you can't see them. And they can get in your soil, and they can also attack the roots of your tomato. So if it has an N on it, it means that your tomato is resistant to root knot nematodes. So that's pretty much about the hybrid tomatoes. But a lot of people like the heirlooms. Now, heirloom tomatoes are considered old tomatoes that haven't been hybridized for these other certain qualities. People think that they have much better flavor and growth habits that they prefer. So you can get tons of different heirloom varieties. They're quite popular now. It's just so amazing. I have to read some of them to you. This is Anna Russian. I suppose that means it's a Russian tomato. Wouldn't that be fun to have in your garden? Here's one called Kellogg's Breakfast. I really love this tomato. It's very prolific in my garden and produces some really nice sized fruit. And it didn't get any diseases for me last year, and it just produced over and over for the whole summer. Cherokee Purple. This is a very popular one. It's actually very beefy, and it's so nice and purpley and delicious. It's just a terrific tomato for eating in a salad or on a sandwich. Here's another one. Oh, you could get yellow tomatoes. It's really awesome because the yellow tomatoes are a lot sweeter. They don't have the acidic taste to them. So because they have less acid, people that have a problem with too much acid really like the tomatoes. And you can find some varieties that are very tasty too. What about this yellow? It's called Yellow Perfection. I'll just read a little bit about it from the back of the tag. That's half the fun of looking. This potato leaf heirloom, originally from an old British seed company, produces 1 to 1.5 inch round, brilliant yellow, thin skin, and delicious fruits. Oh, my mouth is watering already. Let's see, what do we have here? Radiator Charlie's Mortgage Lifter. This tomato has a real story behind it. A gentleman back in the 40s decided that he would develop a tomato. So his name was Charlie Biles, and he wanted to develop a very large tomato, so he cross-pollinated and came up with this one, and it's called Mortgage Lifter. What a crazy name. But the reason it became known as Mortgage Lifter is because he sold so many, he was able to pay off his mortgage. Well, we still have it today, and I'll tell you, this is a fabulous tomato and grows very well in the Riverside area. What about Celebrity? Whoops, Celebrity is actually supposed to be on this side. It's been hybridized, but I'll tell you, Celebrity is the favorite number one tomato for this area and maybe in all of the United States. It's a wonderful performer, and if you plant Celebrity, I guarantee you'll probably have good results. Let's see this one, Kentucky Beefsteak. This one is a really huge one, and it comes from Kentucky, and this one is so big and beautiful, you'll have to bring out the forklift to bring it into your house. So that's kind of the difference between the two kinds. Another thing that you might want to consider when you're choosing your tomato is whether or not it's determinate or indeterminate. Perhaps you've seen those words on your tomato too, and you're wondered, what does that mean? Well, determinate tomatoes are your bush style tomatoes. They're usually smaller, say 3 to 5 feet, and they work really well in a container. And the good properties are they're great for if you have a small area, potato, patio container, something like that. And they're very good for cooking. They make excellent tomato sauce for your spaghetti. If you're cooking your tomatoes, I made some last summer that were fabulous. Varieties include the Roma, patio tomato, San Marzano. So there's a few really nice determinants that you'll want to consider. The downside of them is, though, they have a nice big crop for you and then they quit. I remember for a while when I was first gardening, I wondered, why do some of my tomatoes just up and die in the middle of the summer? Well, it turns out that they were determinate tomatoes and they were just done with their job. So what I do now is I plant one early in March, and then I plant another one in April, and then I plant another one in May. And that way I can have a succession of Roma tomatoes growing for the summer. So that's one way that you can solve that problem. So one way to think about them is determinate, and then you have the indeterminate. So what is an indeterminate tomato? It's more of a vining, sprawling tomato, the kind that go all around, and you say to yourself, I don't have a big enough yard, then maybe you want indeterminate. But if you have a lot of room and you'd like to get your fruit for a long time, the indeterminate tomatoes will keep fruiting until they freeze or a disease gets them. So a lot of people really like the indeterminates. They're good for salads and all that, and heck, I cook with them too, so they'll work just fine for that. Another thing when you're going to go to buy your tomatoes to think about is size. So if you're going to plant in March or April and you think, wow, I could get this nice big tomato, or I could get this little tomato. Well, the advantages of the little are they're cheaper. This seems like it might be a good deal, but if you look at these two tomatoes in 2 months, they'll be exactly the same size, so you're not really gaining much of an advantage. I would spend my money getting a few more tomatoes than just getting the one big one. That's another thing to consider when you're buying your tomatoes. You can also plant them from seed, but you need to start 6 to 8 weeks before the last frost of the year. That last frost date for Riverside is March 7th, so you need to go back to early January to plant your seeds so that they'd be ready like this to grow in your garden in early March. Another thing to think about when you're planting your tomato garden is plants that go along with your tomatoes, meaning companion plants. So it turns out there's a lot of friends of tomatoes that you can plant in your garden with them. You can plant basil right alongside your tomato, and then, hey, you've got your basil all ready for your spaghetti sauce, huh? You can plant onions. Onions are said to repel some insects, so a lot of people like to plant onions in amongst their tomato plants. Another very popular thing to do is to plant marigolds. Marigolds are said to resist nematodes in the soil, and the foliage drives away some insects, so a lot of people have marigolds growing all around their tomato garden. Another plant that works well is a cucumber plant. If you have an area right next to your tomato, then you have a little room on a trellis, a cucumber or a squash is nice to have in your tomato garden. You can also plant parsley, Queen Anne's lace, thyme, all kinds of herbs right in amongst your tomato plants. An advantage of that is many of the flowering plants that I was discussing attract beneficial insects, and those beneficial insects eat the bad insects like aphids off of your tomato vines. So having the flowering plants right next to your tomato is a good idea because they're going to help that tomato out. In a few minutes, we're going to be planting our tomatoes. So I want to think a little bit about what sort of site is the best place to plant your tomatoes. First of all, you're going to want to plant them in the spring. Early spring to mid-spring is a good time. Then you're going to want to find a site that gets 6 to 8 hours of sunlight every day, because tomatoes need a lot of sun in order to produce this wonderful fruit. So they need lots of sun. So when you're looking at your site, go out and see, is it sunny for 6 to 8 hours? Check it in the morning and then check it in the afternoon. Do you have a big tree nearby that's going to shade it? If you do, it's okay to shade it a little in the afternoon, but try to get it for sure to get the morning sun. Another thing you're going to want to consider is nutrients in the soil. You can put some nutrients in your soil beforehand. I usually try to do it a week or so in advance. I sprinkle the nutrients on, I use some organic fertilizer, and then I work it in, and then I wait a week or so until I plant the tomatoes. During the growing season, once the tomatoes start growing on the plant, you're going to want a side dress. That is, you're going to want to put the fertilizer in once a month right along the side of the plant, like this, around the soil. That's called side dressing. So if you continue to give it the nutrients it needs and it has adequate sunlight, the other thing you want to consider is proper watering. For the first couple of weeks until they get going, you're going to want to make sure they have a lot of water. After they really start growing, you're only going to want to water when the soil is dry the first 2 or 3 inches. You don't want to water every day. That will cause it to get some diseases. You want it to let it dry out a little bit in between. But you also don't want it to get too dry, because if they wilt, then they're susceptible to some other problems that tomatoes can get. So the watering is a little tricky. You gotta kind of watch and make sure during the summer, especially on hot days, that you don't let them get too dry, but you also don't want to get them too wet. Another thing to avoid is to have spray on the leaves, which can cause diseases. Drip irrigation or furrow irrigation is better, because then the water doesn't get on the leaves. So now we're ready to go out into our garden and plant some tomatoes. Oh goody, this is one of my favorite times of year when I get to plant the tomatoes. This is so exciting. I love planting tomatoes because they're kind of different than other plants. For one thing, you plant them deeper than you plant anything else. When I say that, what I'm talking about is you want to plant it so that the soil goes up to here. So it's a bit of a challenge. You can have one like this that's kind of tall, and you can have another one that's short, or even shorter than that. So the idea is you want to plant it pretty deep. But before you plant that, Here's a really cool thing to do. After you eat your banana in the morning, save your skin and put it in the bottom of the hole. So you want this deeper than what you're gonna plant the tomato. Okay, so I put my tomato skins in there. Then I'm gonna take an egg, have some scrambled eggs for breakfast. You want a little bit of that. Now you might ask, why are you putting a banana and an egg in there? The reason is the banana skins give some potassium and the eggshells give some calcium, two things that the tomato plant really wants. Then you're gonna throw about an inch or so of soil on top of that, maybe 2 inches. The reason for that is you want the roots to go down in there when it's already been composted a bit in the soil. You don't want it to go yet. So you're gonna want it to go down in a little bit. Then you're gonna take your tomato plant and you're gonna need to pinch off these lower leaves because we don't wanna put them in the ground. They'll just rot, kinda be, maybe bring disease or something, I don't know. Just a good idea to get them off. Wow, look how long this guy is. Okay, so we're gonna plant them up to here. So let's see if I dug the hole deep enough. Well, it's not quite deep enough, but that's okay, because I have another strategy. A lot of people just lay the plant down and bring it up. So we'll put it in that hole and we'll lay it. So by laying, I mean lay it down and then fill in the soil around it. Remember, I've already fertilized our soil here a week or so ago with some good organic fertilizer. So it's all ready to go. I don't have to add anything else except that tomato and eggshell at the bottom. You may say, oh my gosh, you had this nice big tomato and now you have a little tomato. But there's a good reason for doing this. All along the stem of the tomato are little tiny hairs. When you get one, you can look at it and you'll go, oh yeah, there are. They're little tiny hairs. It turns out that those can turn into roots. So by planting your tomato deep like that, the little tiny hairs are gonna root out and your tomato will be much stronger and give you lots of really good tomatoes. So right now I'm gonna go along and I'm gonna plant all of the tomatoes here. We started with the red cherry. You'll want to try a Health Kick tomato. It's chock full of lycopene, an antioxidant, and as you cook lycopene, once you pick the tomatoes and put them in your pot, as you cook it, more of the lycopene becomes available for you. So I thought I'd add a Health Kick tomato this year. So remember, I told you what the steps are. You're going to want to dig a deeper hole than you would imagine. And you want your soil to already have its nutrients in it. And we're going to take an eggshell, crumple it up. It helps to have a lot of chickens around. Okay, you want to put your banana peel in there. Then you're going to want to throw in some soil. And then you're going to want to take off the lower leaves. This one isn't quite as tall as our red cherry tomato, but it's going to be tall very soon. We're planting in early March, and this plant by mid-April is going to be really big. You'll be amazed. You can spread the roots a little bit around, doesn't hurt them. And then I'm going to lay it down and have it pop up. You notice I'm putting my tomatoes about a yard apart from each other. This Health Kick tomato has some little flowers on it. I'm going to take those off because I don't want the energy of the plant to go into the flowers right now. It's going to be a little stressed out because we just transplanted it, and I want all the energy to go down into the roots so it can be a very strong plant. I don't want it to start making tomatoes quite yet. Give it a month, it'll be ready. Then I'm going to put my tag there. I'm going to go ahead and plant the others, and then we're going to see what they all look like with their companion plants. One thing that I always do with my tomato plants is plant their friends, or companion planting. The reason is that, as I said earlier, these companion plants can help your tomato do better, and you'll get a larger yield in your whole garden, because not only will you have tomatoes, but you'll have some other vegetables growing alongside. So one thing that tomatoes like to be friends with is onions. So I like to put onions pretty close to my tomatoes. A substance in onions repels some bad insects, so I'm hoping that they'll help out my tomato as I go along through the summer. Also, I will be pulling the onion up before the tomato gets too big, because it's going to crowd this onion in eventually. So I will be pulling it up. So it's going to offer most of its help while this little tomato is small. Some of these other companion plants, I've got some parsley planted along here and marigolds, and over there I have some basil. As you see, I'm planting them on the outside because they're going to be helping the tomato later as it grows larger, because these tomatoes are going to get really big and tall. And so when they do, you don't want these too close, otherwise they're going to get crowded out. So we have parsley here, and you'll be able to eat the parsley, but when the parsley goes to flower, that's okay, because that flower is going to attract beneficial insects, and those insects will eat some of the bad insects that are attacking your tomatoes. So that's why companion planting is really a helpful thing to do in your garden. Another thing you're going to want to do is put cages or something around your tomatoes for support. So next we're going to show you about some different cages. One thing you're going to want to do for your tomatoes is offer them some support. One reason why is that the fruit can get on the ground and it rots easier, so you want to keep it lifted up off the ground. Another is you want to kind of keep them from going all over the place. But when you go to the store to buy a tomato support, this is one of the ones you might find. Now, this will work out pretty well for a Roma tomato that only gets to be 3 to 5 feet. But if you're going to want to grow something that gets larger, you're going to want a larger support. So this support I made by buying a big roll of 50 feet of concrete reinforcement wire. I just went over to one of the big box stores and got it. Then I cut it so that it's 6 feet around, and I rolled it up, and it's very simple. I just took the wire and wrapped it around itself. Then I cut the bottoms off, crossing ones, so that I could make it go a foot into the ground. These offer way more support for those big tomatoes, and they also have the added advantage of being able to put your hand in and get the ones that are in the inside. So I prefer this kind for my larger tomatoes. It's really pretty easy to put it on, and I like to try to remember to do it right away when I plant, so I don't wait too long. And I just push it in. So I'm going to push it down so most of that lower one is into the ground. Then for the Roma tomato, I'm going to use the tomato cage. I'll have to say though, I usually use these for my eggplant and peppers because they don't get that big, but they work pretty good for the Romas. Now, on this, what you're going to want to do is make sure you don't stab your poor little plant. You want to pull those out just a little, push it in. If your soil is nice and loose, this goes pretty easily. You want to get it in far enough so it can't just fall over later from the weight of the tomato. And there you go. you got yourself a support for your tomato. So Roma with this kind of cage and this barrel-shaped cage for your larger tomatoes. Now we need to water everything in so that our transplants can grow in a healthy way and produce lots of great tomatoes for you. Always make sure that you thoroughly water in your transplants. Remember, their little roots have been damaged a bit from you planting them, and by watering them, you can help their roots recover quicker. Also, if there's any air pockets in there, a good thorough watering can help the soil settle into the plant. So I always water mine in nice and heavy for the first time. But remember, I told you for the first few weeks, you're going to want to water real nice like this. But after they grow, maybe they get about twice as big or three times bigger, you're going to want to slow down on your watering. Definitely during the summer, you're not going to water every day, maybe once or twice a week in the summer, depending on your soil. This is so exciting. I'm very excited about my vegetable garden. I hope you are too. And I hope to see you again on Gardening with Lucy soon. I have a great tip for you in the summer when you're going to be in your garden. Make sure that you always wear a hat and some sunglasses to protect your eyes and your face from the sun. The sun can be brutal during the summer, and you want to make sure that you have taken care of your skin. Another thing that I always do is I put sunscreen on my hands and face, and I pull down my sleeves to protect my arms. I like wearing a very lightweight cotton shirt out in the garden, even in the middle of the summer, because I know it's giving me added protection against the sun. You can see more gardening tips on Gardening with Lucy on GTV or watchriverside.com.